The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast. It's the Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Pete and Steve. You're all right, lads?
Hello.
We record this, by the way, on a Friday and it's actually lunchtime and I heard Pete chewing away. There's talking to him and I said, Pete, what are you having?
I said salad.
Ooh, very nice. Yeah. And I said to Steve, what are you having? First of all, you said you fancied this. What did you fancy, Steve? You said you fancied something. What do you fancy?
I fancy some chips because it's Friday. Yeah. I had soup that was going off in the fridge, so I thought I'd combine them and get some chips and put some soup on it. Soup and chips.
And that'll give you the logic as to Steve's mind. But if you delve a little bit deeper, there is some sense in the logic, Steve. So why? What did you say then about you know, chips and soup? Explain.
Well, it's quite common to go to the chip shop and get some gravy or some
curry.
Very
common.
Exactly. So some nice thick carrot and coriander soup to pour over it instead. Same thing, just different flavour. Tastes quite nice, actually.
I wonder if that coriander soup in a chip shop would be a big seller.
Probably not.
If they offered it to you, you know, chips, big bag, yes, sir, and would you like some curry sauce, coriander soup over it or anything like that? No, you're all right, thanks. Gravy? No. Definitely not any tomato soup or anything, coriander? No. Okay, fair enough. No, just the chips, thanks very much. Oh, there we are, anyways. But and then we started before you. I didn't manage to hit the record, but already Steve is starting the content before the record button's hit. So I said to Steve, and Steve said, to Pete, what was the question you asked him, Steve?
I asked him if he'd bought into i3e Energy.
Because I said, you missed a dip, obviously, missed a dip, Pete. And Pete didn't buy into it, didn't you?
I missed a dip. I am missed a dip. No, and I could tell by the tone of Steve's voice that they've obviously gone up. It's like, oh, so you haven't bought into them then, eh?
No,
yeah,
I'm thinking of you, Pete. I'm not doing condescending way.
Yeah, it's always nice to point out. Isn't it funny that no one points it when the dip's happening?
Or
some people do actually when you're in there.
Which is my point, guys. You've got to tell me about these things. I'm not looking at it all the time. Come on,
we haven't told you about it at all, have we?
Was the dip?
It was dipped down to about 50. Do you remember last week when Pete, you know, our other Pete, said, I'm selling, it's down for a 14% drop here. he predicted a 14% drop. I said, what are you talking about? Are you Warren Buffett or something? Even Warren Buffett doesn't make those kind of predictions. But that day, it didn't start in the red, but it came back. And he said, maybe I'm preempting it a bit here. And he sold out. I said, whoa, so you should have topped up there, you know? It's quite a hard market at the moment. I've seen another person on Twitter who's quite sort of well-followed, saying, that's it, I'm giving up, dropping out. I've seen a couple of these happen of late. People just stopping investing, you know, in the AIM market, I suppose, trading, investing. I did look at the stocks they were looking at, and they weren't good. And in fact, one of them was Teapop. They're pushing quite largely, and to me, that isn't a decent business model worth investing in. And I think now I'm out. but some people take these chances on trades as small cap stocks on a bounce. And I think, you know, you can't predict these short term bounces. You've got to look at the long term model. You've got to look at what's happening. You know, you've got to have confidence in it. Okay, sometimes they don't play out, but if you buy at the right price, hopefully, before everyone else realises it's not a good business model, it'll have rallied a little bit, and you can get out and de-risk. You know, you never know.
Speaking of the long-term model, Yolo Leisure, they seem to be dropping slowly and slowly. What's happening there?
And the directors bought some more this week. I don't know what's happening. Let's be honest. Things change quickly in tech, don't they? You know, and they're a tech investor, pretty much. They invest in Audioboom, which is not a bad thing. It's doing well, turning around. What else? Gfinity, also a good tech. It's gaming, massive. Gaming is huge, isn't it? These kids these days, they don't watch telly, just gaming. You know, I'm a gamer, man. I'm a gamer. And they earn livings doing it. So, and Gfinity has their own sort of arena, and they've got loads of big sort of events happening there. And they're also, so they're doing very well. They're highly rated. They're sort of investing there. They've also, invested in Magic Jukebox, you know. And I think things are changing so fast in that space there. And to explain what that was, it was like an odd sort of device where you could speak into or play on the telly, plug in the telly, and play music for all different, you know, everywhere, every sort of record label signed into it. But and it was aimed at the market where people weren't aware, so almost an older generation market, who were not streaming, not downloading, and there was a big market there. But do you know what?
Yeah.
I think that market and that gap now has been overtaken by smart speakers. You know, your Alexas, your Google Homes.
Digital assistants.
As I said.
You said that, Steve. You were ahead of the tech curve there. You said you don't see a market for it. And my parents, for example, you know, they are Luddites, love them. And even they can get on with Google Home. You know, you can even, when I'm connected up with them, it does, you know, disconnect sometimes from the internet. But I mean, they get on with it and love it. And even my mother plays the same song over and over again, pretty much. You know, then it's easy for them, isn't it, to say it, you know? So it's a lot easier than plugging that thing into the thing. So YOLO, yeah, I think some of their investments are not shallow. But having said that, you know, the market cap is really low. And the investors are buying some shares, so who knows? But for me, it's not a long-term investment at the moment. They've got to invest in something. I know. What's it called? Magic Media are going on to bring out sort of version 2 of their model, which is like an internet a karaoke-style thing. And I think, maybe not.
You still hold Yellow, don't you?
A little bit, yeah. And they were going to float that. Magic Media was going to float, but they've. I think they've issued some convertible loan notes, something to Magic Media, so they can convert into that company if it's worth converting, or they just have to pay the loan. That company will, you know. So, but if it goes through, I don't know what happens. If the company, you know, goes, Magic Media goes through, then what happens to the loans? You know, I don't know. But anyway, there we are. So yes, so it's hard to know. You've always tried to look at midterm to long term. You can't just look at short term bounces, because you know, the general market may go down. It's hard at the moment. The general market just may pull it down, and where you would have a technical bounce, everything else being equal, it may have a technical bounce. You know, if the market's against, it's tides against, then it's hard to push your boat out, isn't it? You know, it's hard to float the boat. What about, there's things you can't, you know, you have no influence over. Like, for example, this week, you know, Trump, trade tariffs. Now, the markets have had a bit of a shockwave from this, because everyone has said, don't do it, Trump, don't do it, you know, don't do it. And but he's imposed, I think it's 25% on steel imports, 10% on aluminium imports. Now it turns out there are exemptions.
Sorry, you're pronouncing it wrong there. It's aluminum.
Aluminum, yeah, sorry. You're aluminum, man.
Aluminum.
How do they get that? They spell it the same as us, don't they?
I know. Hello.
It's aluminium. Aluminum. Look at the spelling, you simple people. Aluminum. Yeah. No, you're missing out an I. That's the I for intelligence. That is, you're missing out the I for intelligence. Aluminium. Minimium. Anyway, so he's done some exemptions. Now, they're very clever exemptions. I didn't realise why. I was speaking to Russ Mould on the Friday podcast. Listen to that. Russ is a man, huge intelligence, intellect, and he knows a lot about macro and micro. And, you know, fascinating guy to talk to. But the exemptions, very clever, are Mexico and Canada. Now, it turns out they do import steel and aluminium for their car industry from these countries. So that's why they're giving an exemption. He just said it's for national security. how is that for national security? I don't understand. No, we're going to fantastic guys, they're friends of ours, we're going to not give exemptions. Now Britain's applying for exemption. Then Brazil is applying for exemption. It turns out, I think a lot of these companies will probably get exemption.
Except in China.
Yes, so it turns out, everyone's calling up Theresa May. Yeah, Donald, yes, and you know your trade term. Any chance we get an exemption? Yeah, it's fantastic. So someone else went to Spain. Oh, hello, Donny Tampa, yeah. I don't know what Spanish accents like, but... Exemption. And Trump, yeah, no problem, man. And then Mr. Ping phones up. Oh, Donny. Oh, trade tariff, yeah? Trade tariff dampened. Yeah.
Well, you pretty much culturally stereotyped the whole world there. That's brilliant.
That's what's going to happen, though. And he said, we still got people got exemption.
What about Australia, mate?
He said, Australia, fantastic, mate. Yeah, exemptions.
Aye, can we have an exemption, please, mate?
Yeah, no problem. But Mr. Ping will call up that and say, I tell me a country got exemption. that's right. Can I get exemption? Oh, no way. No way. Essentially, he should have called it the Chinese trade tariff, because it turns out they've got a massive deficit, you know, America, massive deficit. It's something like 600, is it billion or trillion or something ridiculous? So 600 trillion, something ridiculous. And about 500 trillion that comes from China. So it's China bonds. You know, China's importing a lot to America, and they annoyed it. And
Aluminium and steel, I saw a graph showing that actually the net amount coming from China was about 10th on the list after Mexico and Canada and all the rest of it. So actually, it's not as big as... I think it's in Trump's head it is, but it's probably across all of the imports, but not steel and aluminum.
Yeah, no, but I think he wants to hit China. I know, but, yeah, but thing is,
I know, but he doesn't, that's not the way to do it.
No, I know, but he doesn't. The thing is, it's not beneficial for him, is it, to put the tariffs on Mexico and Canada because they need that for the cars. And they're friends of his.
Oh, no, of course. Like, yeah, exactly, yeah. Well, not friends. Well, they'll probably build the wall out of steel.
Yeah, I know. So, but China not happy now. They're saying it's a serious breach of international trade regulations, and I can imagine Mr. Ping, would be really annoyed at that. You're not going to give exemption to everyone else. You're not giving exemption to what? Right? You're doing Trump, Mr. Trump. Black tariffs. So I'd love it if it was like that, just shouting at each other on the phone, really abusive.
Yes. It probably is.
Shut your face. Trump said, you've been importing rubbish to us, Chinese rubbish to us, for years. You don't call it Chinese rubbish, right?
Most American companies probably have their stuff made. I know it's not steel and alumni. What is it?
Alumni, yeah.
Alumni.
People you went to school with, yeah.
But surely, yeah, if China kind of come back, and they'll massively lose out America, won't they?
Well, they're saying no. In a trade war, America could probably win because China imports more. America imports more Chinese stuff than Chinese import of American stuff. You know, so they could lose. But I mean, it's generally not good for everywhere in the world. You know, so it's not the way forward. Essentially, what you need to do is create a competitive industry, and of course, you can't compete with China because they're obviously. They've only just started developing. They're a country where the wages are a lot less. Everything's a lot less, so it costs a lot less to make things there. You know, so and it's a huge sort of economies of scale out there. They've got 1.5 billion people, so it's they can just do it. It'll take years and years for them to catch up, and their wages to be on parity with the Western world. And so he's trying to do trade tariffs, but it's not the way forward, I suppose. And anyway, do you know what? I just put a thing on Twitter now, and Pete, I got an excellent idea. Right, England never do well in the World Cup ever, do they, in football, apart from 1966, which you still bang on about. You know, people still banging on about 1966. And it's ridiculous.
Well, yeah. We don't, but it's all relative, isn't it? So at least we're there. You know, at least we actually qualify.
Okay. Yeah. But the thing is, though, but why do that? Why qualify and then really be humiliated in the spotlight? Just don't turn up. See? Well, listen, here's the thing. Yeah. So this week, or was it last week? I can't remember. This week was it the Russian spy and his daughter in Salisbury? In fact, me and my family and the kids had lunch there. We went to watch Bananas in Pyjamas a couple of years back.
Right.
We had lunch there in that square in Salisbury where the thing happened. Anyway, so Russian
a couple of years back.
Yeah. But, no, because I recognise that. Yeah. So we had lunch there with sandwiches. Anyway,
I think I've been there. In my life.
Well, Salisbury. Yeah. Have you been there, Steve? Okay. No, everyone's been there. Steve, have you been there?
Nope.
Yeah, see, Steve, we swallow you again, Steve. Stop putting that mic right close to your guttural. Anyway, he's just bolting. He's drinking a pint of soup with chips in. He's using chips as straws. Anyway, this is what you should do, right? So that ex-Russian spy, they're looking now, he's a bit of nerve gas, and they're saying nerve gas is only used by states pretty much because it takes a lot of money to create this stuff. You know, there's not, it's not like mafioso or anything, because it just takes too much, research and all that stuff. So they're saying, if this comes from Russia, and they aren't quite, let's be honest, it's from Russia, let's be honest. Everyone's saying, no, we shouldn't actually, jump to conclusions yet. It's Russia. But anyway, if they find out it's Russia, right, England should boycott the World Cup, which is in Russia, the Football World Cup, which is in Russia. And then you have an excuse not to get humiliated on a national, international scale. Because, and you can just say, what you should do is build up the England team beforehand, saying they are absolutely in the form of their life. Unbelievable. Yeah. And
I hate to say it, but you're like one step behind Boris on this.
Is that what he's saying?
Well, no, he was suggesting it from a diplomatic point of view, so none of the officials would go and all the rest of it. He wasn't actually saying the team wouldn't go, but yes.
But I just, Boris, yeah, he's missing out on a party there. But listen,
you're
Boris.
A bit behind Boris.
Yeah, but I fancy being behind Boris, but especially after a meal. But listen, but I just think there's a huge opportunity here for an England football team not to humiliate themselves again on the
international
day. Good
idea. Yes.
I just think.
Stay at home. And stay at home with the Welsh or the Scots.
An excellent get-out clause, yeah, yeah. Anyway, listen, so...
We'll go to Wales and have a barbecue.
Exactly.
In the cake. Yeah.
And listen, I was just going to say, back to being a hard market. It's hard market on AIM. This is what the market's like. I mean, generally, around this time, February, March, April is a good month, generally. It rallies into April, start of the May, and then people start selling for May. So this is the time to hold on. And if you're going to trim... In April, you know, when the stocks start rallying. But it's like, someone asked me on Twitter, I think Nigel it was, actually, one of Twitter friends, asked me recently, said, I've got a big position, and thanks to you, a lot to you, because you've highlighted the stock on the podcast. And let me just say one other thing. If you're tuning in to get tips and do no research, right, and then buy stocks off the back of this, podcast, and then if it goes down, start blaming me and slagging me off on Twitter, switch off now, you simpleton, all right?
Yes,
it's not
Steve.
For that. Yes, Steve, stop slagging me off on Twitter.
But I mean, I get people, what Steve's doing.
I get people doing that. I often, at the start of this podcast, there's an audio bumper saying, do not invest in the... And that's what we say. If you can't take responsibilities for your own investments, right, if you're going to blame somewhere else, you'll never be a good investor. Do not invest. Stay away from the investing arena. If you are prepared to take responsibility, think that's my fault. I listened to what that idiot said, that Welsh fool, Steve, not me, and I invested off the back of him. And it's gone in the wrong direction. What, Steve, what are you doing?
Steve's now eating Smarties.
What do you want now, Steve? What are you eating?
I'm not eating any. Oh, sorry, I just rubbed up against my microphone.
Stop rubbing up against my microphone. You don't want that.
Which bit of your body rubbed up against the microphone?
I know, exactly.
Steve?
Leave it there to imagination. You shouldn't be shaving down there, Steve. Right, listen. So listen to your own research. I did sort of pin up. I put it in front of my desk now. I did put it on Twitter, right? I've got a sheet now right in front of me. I can see it. And everyone buys on impulse. Impulsive buying, a fear of missing out. That's always the wrong thing to do. If you see a stock rallying, let it rally. Let it go. You know, if you're not a trader, and trading's hard, very hard, most people lose money, let it go. And do some research on it. And I just did an acronym here. It's stuck up in front of me. I've actually laminated it, guys. I've laminated the piece of information.
You have too much time on your hands.
Megan's got a laminating machine in there. It's a laminator.
What does she need a laminator for?
It turns every bit of meat into lamb.
I need to have a laminator, Pete. You never know. What keep waterproof.
Exactly.
What does Megan do with a laminator?
I don't know. Once you get, it's one of the things you start, you get one, you just want to laminate everything, and then after a while, you forget about it. Okay. But anyway, yeah, so the CASH acronym, 2 C's in CASH and 2 S's. Just remember that, right? So CASH, first C stands for what, Steve?
CASH.
No. That comes an A for assets. That comes under.
I knew this last week, but why have I gone blank?
You didn't actually. I told you. CASH is for capitalization. This is the order of what I look at things. So I look at how big is a company. You know, if it's like sub 10 million, it's very risky, but it's more likely to double than 100 million market cap. You know, so that's the arena I like to look in. It's very risky if you're not into it. Stocks, look at bigger companies; they're less risky, more risk, more reward, of course, but more risk could mean more chance of blowing up your account. Second C stands for what, Steve? What do I look at next?
Second C.
Second C in CASH. Is he listening to the podcast? Just said
there's
this.
Two C's now. Remember,
it's two C's, yeah, two S's.
I forgot about the two C's.
It's just two S's.
Two C's, two S's. Yes.
Yeah, it's very Welsh. It's a Welsh spelling.
Oh, I can't hear you, but I do catch it here.
See?
Second C is for chart. Look at a chart, just of a company. Has this price spiked recently? Has it risen quickly, you know, massively in the last few days? If it has, wait, avoid, stay back. Buying spikes will burn your account. Well, you know, you're sitting on a loss. The A in CASH stands for what, Steve?
Assets.
Exactly. So assets, that means look at a company's balance sheet. Do they have cash? Especially small caps. Do they have enough cash to take them beyond pre-revenue stocks? Do they have enough cash to take them beyond the next milestone? Do they have net current assets? Look into that, work out what it is. If it's a resource company what's the economics of the project? Look at something, a good example of that, look at Jangada Mines recently, the recent presentation. In fact, it's just a scoping study now, but normally you can see the economics of a mine when they've done a pre-economic study or assessment or something like that, or feasibility study. But do they have a JORC or NI 43101 resource? That means it's a world-recognized resource and drilled out to a certain standard that you know you can, you know, it's recognized globally, basically. That's the A in cash. So S is for what? First S, Pete.
Shareholder.
Yes, yes, good one, shareholders. How tightly are the shares held? Do the board have any skin in the game? Second S is for what? This is quite important as well.
For Steve. Does it stand for Steve?
Stands for Steve. Is Steve in the stock? If he is, stay out.
Yeah. Exactly. Not a bad one, actually.
No, it's not.
Significant
it's not.
Milestone.
That's it. Yeah, significant milestone. Look there. What's the next thing? Because if they haven't got anything coming up very soon, you could be sitting there for a long time, and on AIM, especially on small stocks, the price can drift. If there's no big news coming out, the price could drift, could go lower and lower and lower. And you think, well, I quite like this company, but nothing's happening, no news. So look for a bit of news. Like, for example, is there a scoping study? If it's a resource company, is there a scoping study? For example, if it's a tech stock or something like that, like feedback, that a CE mark coming up, which is, you know, or, for example, Harvest Minerals recently, they're going for, you know, a certification on their, what's it called? On their fertilizer. But even though before that, there's a big sales contract, which has pushed the price up. But they still have that, you know, certification to happen. But that's pretty much guaranteed. So what you're after now is to boost the business. It's another sales contract somewhere. But as yet, it looks like they're generating good cash now from that operation. And so any more sales contract in the not too distant future will be good. But the next milestone is that certification. And, okay, H in the cash stands for what?
Hedge honcho. There we go.
That's Steve. I love Steve.
Head honcho. Yeah. So that's the
alumni. Head honcho.
Yeah, basically the management. Who are the management? What is their track record? Look at other companies they've been involved with, and etc. Let's go over quickly a couple of stocks and sort of this week bit of news. Feedback. Trevor Brown, who was selling down, is now bought back in.
Right.
It turns out, he DM'd me on Twitter. He said, I've spoken to the new CEO. I wrote up on a blog, didn't I, on the weekend, feedback. I said, a couple more reasons to put them on the watch list. FDBK has dropped since I first talked about them. And that can happen. That's why you should always scale in. You know, shares go up and down. But if you're quite confident, you've done research in the longer-term business model here, don't worry about that. If the story hasn't changed, then it's another reason to maybe scale in a bit more, because it's a cheaper price. You're getting it for a cheaper price. The valuation goes down. So anyway, Trevor said, I spoke to the new CEO. I like him a lot. David Crabb, the new CEO. I like him a lot. Very impressed, he said. And he started buying back in. So he sold down from 26% down to like 9%. And now two RNSs came out, TR1s for people of significance of holdings, and he's now gone from 9% back up to 11%, so he likes that. And I do think, if you look at the statements that were released, interim statements, they're historic, by the way. Every time you read a historical statement, you know, interim results or full year results, they're like 3 months out of date, or even more than that, because that's the last end point. So they're more than that out of date. They're at least, you know, 4, 5, 6 months out of date, so check them. But I mean, they did say financial benefits of these contracts they signed will be reflected in the full year results, which obviously weren't in the interim, so obviously they'll go up. So
was he involved in the IPO, or how does it, because I was thinking he was selling so much at quite a relatively low level, unless he bought obviously years ago.
I think he was one of the initial investors though, but
he'd still be selling and making some cash, and now he's buying back in, so that's a good sign.
Cool, yes, it is a good sign. Okay, a couple of other companies worth mentioning, I think. Upland Resources, they released an RNS this week about convertible loan notes. I thought, oh no! I saw that on the RNS title.
Yes.
And everyone thinks convertible loan notes is a bad thing, because essentially, you know, what a convertible loan note is, it's a loan that's convertible into shares if the loan isn't paid off. Now, this is a bad thing generally when the issuer of this convertible loan, the thing, is not related to the company. It's a third party. They just have cash and they're issuing, you know, the money in returns for like 10% or convertible shares. But the thing is, this convertible loan, it was issued by Tony Fernandez, a big investor in Upland Resources, and the chairman, who also owns about 40-odd percent, I think, of the company already. So it's a good thing because they're sticky holders. They're not going to sell for 10%. They're not selling shares for 10%. Just, you know, those guys who are multi-millionaires didn't make their money by flipping small cap stocks for 10-20%. You know, they didn't do that. That's not how they made their billions. So they see this as a very good investment vehicle, and they've chosen to take money in it, and they're backing it. There are plenty of pre-revenue companies, you know, especially in the O&G space, who envy, you know, this line of credit or this line of loans, this line of money. Of course, it comes with a charge, but they're businessmen. But one thing is, these shares, if they're converted, will stay in sticky hands. They're not going to convert them and sell them straight away, like it happens with every other, you know, third party or non-related party that issue these kind of things. So I think that's a good thing. And the share price went up the day. I think that's a good thing. Went up by 7-8%, I think. Oh, no, more than that, I think. Thanks for that, Steve. Another sort of... Stop, Steve!
Yeah.
Harvest Minerals, just mentioned them, really. Worth mentioning... Ferrum Crescent, they've been dropping, haven't they?
Yes.
Dropping. And that's why I said always scale in. And the thing is, we know about Ferrum Crescent, amazing asset, right? $3 billion worth of zinc, lead, and silver in the ground in Spain, and in a first world mining friendly jurisdiction. But the share price is dropping. Why? It's down to 2.3 million now. $3 billion worth of value in metals in the ground. Why the massive disconnect? There's a huge disconnect there. Why? Because they need some money. People saying, "Oh, they need money to get to the next level." They don't need that much, I don't think. I mean, I think the next thing they need to do is probably a bit more drilling, and then a scoping study. So if they do a bit more drilling to extend to make the resource bigger, than 16 million tons at the moment, that's good. If they make it bigger, then say 25 million, a really world class asset, and one was recently sold for $402 million. Oh yeah, it was producing that mine. Cost them $100 million to get the mine into operation, but nevertheless, as they go forward and de-risk that project, then the value of Ferrum Crescent will go up. This kind of dip at the moment is a short-term dip, and I just genuinely think, you know, listen, and I'm going to say this again, do not invest in anything on the podcast. It's not there. I just think, look at the market cap here. We are sub 2.5 million, and I've said this to other people. I can see this, you know, with the right sort of... level of work going in here, and with the money raised, I don't think they need to raise a lot of money. £100,000, £150,000, £200,000, and that will unlock the next bit of value for this project. And this company can fall back and still be under 10 million, which is still majorly undervalued compared to its peers.
I have a question on that. On the actual, okay, they might, there's the fear of the placing, because obviously they might need some funding, or they probably do need funding. But if there is going to be a placing, because of the size of the asset, I can't see there being a problem in raising that capital. And equally, the share won't necessarily be at a massive discount, will it? Why would it be? Why would the board...
Listen, if you're a pre-revenue company and you are a small cap, it is hard to raise money. And so, you know... But
is it? When they've got such...
Yeah, it is, because there's still a lot of risk there. I mean, there's an asset in the ground that still needs, you know, I mean... They still need to get through scoping study, and then so increase the resource. Then scoping study showed the economics of the thing. So that's two bits there that they need some money, all right? And then essentially, I don't know what happens next, but if they're going to go through just pre-feasibility studies or feasibility study, show the absolute, you know, what's called a bankable feasibility, that's when you take that to, financiers to raise money.
But when the market cap is so low, it's kind of like, you could discount it at half of the current share price, but I kind of, what's the justification? It's not like it's overvalued.
No, I know, and that's the thing. I mean, I think genuinely what people tend to do is generally put some genuine good news out or get some kind of positive and show the value of this project potential. Hopefully it'll get some traction, rally a bit, then, you know, raise some money. Who knows how it's going to work, but, you know, what you know is this is, you know, there'll be fluctuations and it'll go up and down, and it's a small cap stock, but genuinely, you know, that asset in that jurisdiction, it's worth a lot of money, you know, and so I don't know. I mean, prepare yourself, but people, things are not that simple though. People just think, oh, they need to raise money and get in there, but no, yeah, wait for a placing, then get in. But who's to say the placing will happen at this level? And I've seen companies and stocks rally for no reason and rally strongly for no reason. And all of a sudden, you know, they'll do it, and because it catches on. But Yeah, but I've scaled in. I'm pretty much up to my max now of exposure, about 10% of my portfolio here. So I've scaled
in. Me
too. Yeah, and so...
Are you? Right, I'm only about 5%.
So I'm going to wait. Well, I'm going to wait to see what happens here. But listen, it's a small cap, risky stock. But there's a lot of, that valuation is, you know, if we got together, everyone listening to the podcast got together and decided to take over this company, we can make a lot of money just from that asset, a lot of money. And that's what other people look at. They think, is it worth a lot more? You can't get those assets any cheaper than where it's at the moment. You know, 2.3 million market cap for those assets. In Spain, you know, you've got to look at the basic basis. So it's a risky play, of course it is, but it's underpinned by the assets. And I think if you look around for other companies with assets like that quality, for a cap this size, you're not going to see them. You know, you're not going to see them. So,
And Trump hasn't put any tariffs on zinc yet.
No, exactly. And,
there you go.
And zinc is economics around zinc as well, deficit, marketing deficit, 10-year high price. So it's worth looking at. Listen, again, I got to say, do your own research, people.
Yes.
Small cap stocks and micro cap stocks are very risky. And the most important thing about risk is knowing how to manage it. Like I said, you can't control the share price. You can't control the market. What you can control is your exposure to the market and that share price. So if you know, for example, and that's really, if you're thinking of putting, like, let's say a round figure, let's say you're thinking your overall maximum exposure to this company is like £1,000, splitting in three, and then, you know, that's what you're doing. You put the first tranche in and wait and see what happens. And because you can always scale up, you know, average up, doesn't matter. But you don't want to put everything in and see it slump by like 30% or something ridiculous, or 20%.
No.
But it's always easy to be in profit and buy, you know, and scaling that way. And that's why I need to do another sort of acronym, really, about risk, I think.
Mm.
But, anyway, lads, I think that's it now. Do you know what? Some people on Twitter I see, right? And if I see them in a stock, I just avoid it. And it's not because they ramp out or anything, just because they're useless. Honestly, I've seen these guys talk about stocks. Honestly, there's a couple of people. And I think, and literally, they're getting a stock. And they seem to be able to pick absolute losers, you know? And I'm thinking, Steve, you should start a blog. I think it'd go well. Right, listen, I better go because I'm having someone call me on my phone lots of times, and they're not stopping. So I better call them back.
It's probably Trevor Brown.
Yeah, Trevor Brown. So I'm buying more stock. Yeah.
Yeah, or Mr. Ping.
Yeah, Mr. Ping. Mr. Jijong Ping. That'd be good. That'd be good at the front desk of a hotel, though, wouldn't it? If you check in and you just said that and just hit the buttons and, oh, look, it's President Jijong Ding! And hit the bell. You'd find that quite funny, I think.
I love it.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Anything else, Steve? Any plans for the weekend? Who are you playing on the weekend, rugby wise?
Italy.
Yes. And who are you? Steve's playing Italy. Who are you playing, Pete?
I'm playing France.
Oh, you have trouble there, you.
Probably the way our season is going.
They're not as good as we thought. They're not as good as we thought. England, are they really? They're a bit, you know. They came out all cocky against Wales. When you think of it, we actually won that. You know.
A brilliant way of looking at it.
Scotland hammered you, you know. So,
and Scotland hammered you. Oh no, you hammered Scotland.
Yeah. It's a really odd Six Nations, isn't it? We hammered Scotland.
Yeah. That was a different team, though, wasn't it? You hammered.
No, like, same team really. Same team.
D team.
We had injuries.
Against... Same team. I think they had the boots on the wrong way around when they played you or something. I don't know.
We had injuries. We had injuries against you. We're in your home ground. And we had a game disallowed, which was like a try disallowed. Yeah. All right then. Yeah. All right, lovely.
I'm not
going
to advise for that.
All right then.
Anyway, enjoy. That. Enjoy your weekend. Good luck against Italy. Ooh, wooden spoon game.
Well, hang on. What about you? How many have you won?
About four.
You haven't won four. You've won Italy. Italy, well done there. You beat Wales.
We won Italy. Yeah, and we beat Wales. There, two.
Two. So we beat Scotland. Who else have we beat?
It all comes down to bonus points as well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So because you've got a losing bonus point because you're losers, so you've got a bonus point.
We beat you anyway, I think. I take that as a win.
We'll beat you.
No, I take that as a win. We beat you. No, we beat you in your thing. All right, then. Ta-da, then.
All right.
Bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.